Our Country, the Marvel of Nations. Chapter 1, The World Wonders and Prophecies. Suddenly, a new world power has arisen upon the horizon of nations. That power is the United States of America. Suddenly, we say, even if we date from the very hour of its birth, for it is but a little more than 100 years since the nation known by this name began to exist. Scanning the history of nations in the past, 100 years is not, comparatively speaking, a very long period. What nation ever made any very great impression upon the world in its first 100 years? Take Rome, the great iron colossus, which for ages bestrode the nations of the earth. What was Rome when but 100 years of age? Scarcely known outside the few provinces of Italy which then composed its uncertain territory. It has not been so with this giant which has arisen in a new world. It preempted its own territory, by itself and for itself, out of savagery and chaos, and now waves its imperial banner and lustily shouts its notes of challenge in no uncertain tones to the proudest and strongest national combinations of mankind. Some of the nations which have been the leading nations of the earth are beginning to stagnate and decay. The foremost statesman of Europe speaks of them as decaying nations, but the eyes of all nations now turn with wonder and envy to this parvenu of the West and desire friendship and alliance. The nation originated in the spirit of progress and piety. Religious intolerance in the old world, striking about in its usual sightless and senseless way, weaned many a vigorous and virile company from their native abode, and burned into their souls an undying love of civil and religious liberty. Dominated by these principles, they turned their eyes to the new world and struck out for freedom to govern themselves as wisdom and experience might dictate, and to worship God according to His word and their own consciences. These earnest people builded their altars along our Atlantic coast. The noble principles upon which they took their stand, and their generous spirit in opening their doors and sending an invitation to the oppressed of all lands to share with them freely in the enjoyment of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, attracted associates from every direction, as recruits flocked to the standard of David in the cave of Adullam. The result is a marvel. For now, in the place of the first few sparse settlements, a mighty nation with a vast expanse of territory stretches from Plymouth Rock on the east to the Golden Gate on the west, and from regions Arctic on the north to regions nearly torrid on the south, embracing more leagues of habitable land than Rome ruled over in its palmiest days. The government thus begotten and reared here holds a position of invincible independence and glory among the nations of the earth. In a speech at the Centennial Dinner at the Westminster Palace Hotel, London, July 4, 1876, J.P. Thompson, LL.D., speaking of the United States, said, "They have proved the possibility of free, popular government upon a scale to which the Roman Republic of 500 years was but a province." The United States as a Nation, page 17. 100 years had not elapsed ere the fame of this new nation had encircled our globe. The toiling millions of Europe in response are swarming to our shores. The islands of the sea have sent their living contributions. The sound has reached the Orient and, as with a password, has opened the gates of nations long barred against intercourse with other people. And the hermit kingdoms of China and Japan, turning from their beaten track of 40 centuries, are looking with wonder to the prodigy arising across the Pacific to the east of them, and catching some of the impulse which this growing power is imparting to the nations of the earth. 125 years ago, in 1776, with about 3 millions of people, the United States became an independent government. It has now, 1901, a population of over 76 1/4 million people, and a territory of more than 3.5 million square miles. Russia alone exceeds this nation in these particulars, having 49 million more people, and, including the vast and dreary regions of Siberia, nearly 5 million more square miles of territory. 1901, the United States and territories had 76,215,129 inhabitants, and with the additional accessions acquired through the late Spanish War, our population now foots up to 87 million. But Russia is credited with 136 million people, exceeding the number in the United States and colonies by 49 million. Of all the nations on the globe whose laws are framed by legislative bodies elected by the people, Brazil, which has the largest territory, has but little over 3 million of square miles, 3,219,000, and France, the most populous, 38,517,975, has not by many millions so great a number of inhabitants as our country. So that in point of territory and population combined, it will be seen that the United States now stands at the head of the self-governing powers of the earth. Occupying a position altogether unique, this government excites equally the astonishment and the admiration of all beholders. The main features of its history are such as have had no parallel since the distinction of nations existed among men. They may be enumerated as follows. 1. Quiet manner of its rise. No nation ever acquired so vast a territory in so quiet a manner. 2. Peaceable means by which it rose. No nation has ever before risen to such greatness by means so peaceable. 3. Rapid increase of strength and capital. No nation before this has ever advanced so rapidly in all that constitutes national strength and capital. 4. Short path to pinnacle of power. No nation ever rose to such a pinnacle of power in a space of time so incredibly short. 5. Unlimited resources developed. No nation in so limited a time has developed such unlimited resources. 6. Deep and broad foundations. No nation has ever existed, the foundations of whose government were laid so broad and deep in the principles of justice, righteousness, and truth. 7. Freedom of conscience. No nation has ever existed in which men have been left so free to worship God according to the dictates of their own consciences. 8. Encouragement of arts and sciences. In no nation and in no age of the world besides the present have the arts and sciences so flourished, so many inventions been perfected, and so great successes been achieved in the arts of both peace and war, as in our own country during the last 60 years, and particularly during the last decade. 9. Gospel free and churches untrammeled. In no nation and in no age has the gospel found such freedom, and the churches of Christ had such liberty to enlarge their borders and develop their strength. 10. Streams of immigration. No age of the world has seen such an immigration as that which is now pouring into our borders from all lands. The millions who have long groaned under despotic and tyrannical governments, and who now turn to this broad territory of freedom as the avenue of hope, the utopia of the nations. Predictions of coming greatness. The most discerning minds have been intuitively impressed with the idea of the future greatness and power of this government. In view of the grand results developed and developing, the discovery of America by Columbus a little over 400 years ago is set down as the greatest event of all secular history. The progress of empire to this land was long ago expected. Sir Thomas Browne, in 1682, predicted the growth of a power here which would rival the European kingdoms in strength and prowess. In Burnaby's Travels Through the Middle Settlements of North America in 1759 and 1760, published in 1775, is expressed this sentiment. An idea, strange as it is visionary, has entered into the minds of the generality of mankind that empire is traveling westward, and everyone is looking forward with eager and impatient expectation to that destined moment when America is to give the law to the rest of the world. John Adams, October 12, 1775, wrote, "Soon after the Reformation, a few people came over into this new world for conscience' sake. Perhaps this apparently trivial incident may transfer the seat of empire to America." On the day after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that is, July 5, 1776, he wrote, "Yesterday the greatest question was decided which was ever debated in America, and a greater, perhaps, never was nor will be decided among men." In 1776, Galiani, a Neapolitan, predicted the gradual decay of European institutions to renew themselves in America. In 1778, in reference to the question as to which was to be the ruling power in the world, Europe or America, he said, "I will wager in favor of America." Adam Smith of Scotland in 1776 predicted the transfer of empire to America. Governor Pownall, an English statesman, in 1780, while our revolution was in progress, predicted that this country would become independent and that a civilizing activity beyond what Europe could ever know would animate it, and that its commercial and naval power would be found in every quarter of the globe. Again, he said, "North America has advanced and is every day advancing to growth of state, with a steady and continually accelerating motion, of which there never has yet been any example in Europe." David Hartley wrote from England in 1777, "At sea, which has hitherto been our prerogative element, they, the United States, rise against us at a stupendous rate, and if we cannot return to our old mutual hospitalities toward each other, a very few years will show us a most formidable hostile marine, ready to join hands with any of our enemies." Count Deronda, one of the first Spanish statesmen, in 1783, thus wrote of this republic, "This federal republic was born a pygmy, so to speak. It required the support and forces of two powers as great as Spain and France in order to attain independence. A day will come when it will be a giant, even a colossus, formidable in these countries." Charles Sumner, entitled Prophetic Voices About America, published in the Atlantic Monthly of September 1867. Sir Thomas Browne, referred to above, in 1684 published certain miscellany tracts, one of which, entitled The Prophecy, is the one which contains his reflections on the rise and progress of America. Dr. Johnson says of it, "Brown plainly discovers his expectation to be the same with that entertained lately with more confidence by Dr. Berkeley, that America will be the seat of the Fifth Empire." It is in verse, and the lines relating to America are, "When New England shall trouble New Spain, when America shall cease to send out its treasure, but employ it at home in American pleasure. When the new world shall the old invade, nor count them their lords, but their fellows in trade." Dyking's American Literature, Volume 1, page 170. In 1773, the Bishop of St. Asaph, Wales, before the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts, said, "The colonies of North America have not only taken root and acquired strength, but seem hastening with an accelerated progress to such a powerful state as may introduce a new and important change in human affairs." ID. The transfer of religion to this land and its revival here was also expected. George Herbert, in a poem entitled The Church Militant, published in 1633, said, "Religion stands on tiptoe in our land, ready to pass to the American strand." ID. Of these prophecies, some are now wholly fulfilled, and the remainder far on the road to fulfillment. This infant of yesterday stands forth today a giant, vigorous, active, and courageous, and accepts with dignity its manifest destiny at the head of powers and civilizations. A question of prophecy. A question of thrilling interest now arises. This government has received recognition at the hands of men sufficient to satisfy any ambition. Does the God of heaven also recognize it? And has he spoken concerning it? In other words, does the prophetic pen, which has so fully delineated the rise and progress of all the other great nations of the earth, pass this one by unnoticed? What are the probabilities in this matter? As the student of prophecy, in common with all mankind, looks with wonder upon the rise and unparalleled progress of this nation, he cannot repress the conviction that the hand of providence has been at work in this quiet but mighty revolution. And this conviction he shares in common with others. Governor Pownall, from whom a quotation has already been presented, speaking of the establishment of this country as a free and sovereign power, calls it a revolution that has stronger marks of divine interposition, superseding the ordinary course of human affairs, than any other event which this world has experienced. De Tocqueville, a French writer, speaking of our separation from England, says, "It might seem their folly, but was really their fate, or rather, the providence of God, who has doubtless a work for them to do in which the massive materiality of the English character would have been too ponderous a dead weight upon their progress." George Alfred Townsend, speaking of the misfortunes that have attended the other governments on this continent, New World and Old, page 635, says, "The history of the United States was separated by a beneficent providence far from the wild and cruel history of the rest of the continent." Again, he says, "This hemisphere was laid away for no one race." Reverend J. M. Foster, in a sermon before the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, November 30, 1882, bore the following explicit testimony to the fact that the hand of providence had been remarkably displayed in the establishment of this government. "Let us look at the history of our own nation. The Mediator, long ages ago, prepared this land as the home of civil and religious liberty. He made it a land flowing with milk and honey. He stored our mountains with coal and iron and copper and silver and gold. He prepared our fountains of oil, planted our forests, leveled our plains, enriched our valleys, and beautified them with lakes and rivers. He guided the Mayflower over the sea so that the Pilgrim Fathers landed safely on Plymouth Rock. He directed the course of our civilization so that we have become a great nation. In territory, the area of the two countries, the United States and Russia, according to the latest statistics, is given as follows. United States, 3,676,392 square miles, with additions from the Spanish War, 3,756,884. Russia, 8,660,395, leaving an excess in favor of Russia of 4,903,511.